ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
Translation: through the path of illumination, such liberated persons approach the complete personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of the material and spiritual worlds and is the supreme cause of their manifestation and dissolution. Purport: the word Suryadvarena means by the illuminated path or through the sun planet. The illuminated path is devotional service. It is advised in the Vedas not to pass through the darkness, but to pass through the sun planet. It is also recommended here that by traversing the illuminated path, one can be freed from the contamination of the material modes of nature. By that path, one can enter into the kingdom where the completely perfect personality of Godhead resides. The words Purusham Vishvato Mukham mean the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all perfect. All living entities other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead are very small, although they may be big by our calculation. Everyone is infinitesimal, as Srila Prabhupada used to pronounce it, or everyone is infinitesimal. And therefore, in the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is called the Supreme Eternal amongst all eternals. He is the proprietor of the material and spiritual worlds and the supreme cause of manifestation. Material nature is the only ingredient because actually the manifestation is caused by his energy. The material energy is also his energy, but as the combination of father and mother is the cause of childbirth, so the combination of the material energy and the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of the manifestation of the material world. The efficient cause, therefore, is not matter, but the Lord himself. This chapter is entitled Entanglement in Fruitive Activities. And this chapter, as several previous chapters, have given an overview of life in the material world, and it's not much fun. Fun is there, but for every little bit of fun, there's lots of anti-fun, or non-fun, or the opposite of fun, or suffering, misery, kashtam, klesham. As in English, there are many words for suffering, so in Sanskritam also. In Tamil also, probably. It's a common experience, so there are many words for it. Just like in some Eskimo language, there's more than 20 words for snow, all the different. They can see the difference. There's this snow, that snow, for, you don't know what it is. There's no word in Tamil for snow, presumably. There's no word, I think.
Not exactly, it's a derived word.
Derived, yeah. So, because it's something the Eskimos have a lot of experience of, so they have many different words for it. So in every language there's many different words for suffering. But it's not that, as some people say, that this Krishna consciousness, it's all negative. That's Buddhism. They point out the miseries of the material world, and what's the alternative? There is no alternative. What's the alternative? No. Nothing. Just don't exist. So now, the positive alternative is being given after so many chapters. So it's both sides. In Bhagavatam, both sides are given. There's the absolute misery of this material world. And this material world is the relative world. The only thing that's absolute is that there's suffering. That's the only fixed condition of this material world. Otherwise, everything is non-fixed. Everything is temporary. The only thing that's sure as death, sure as suffering, that's the only thing that's sure. So absolute in the sense of being fixed, and there's no conditions on it. It's not that, well, there must be some place or some position in this material world where there's no misery, but there is no such situation in the material world where there is no misery. Therefore we can say the only thing that's absolute in this material world is that suffering is fixed. But there is the absolute world where happiness is fixed. There's no misery. So now Bhagavatam is pointing us towards the Surya Dwara, the gate or the path of illumination. Go there, Tamasima Jyotir Gamaya. Don't stay in this darkness. Go to the light of knowledge, the light of Krishna. Go there. It's not simply pointing out this material world is miserable. But it's pointing out that there's something positive, good. There's no need to be miserable. You can come to a condition of absolute happiness. So this contrast is there throughout Bhagavatam. The absolute bliss of the spiritual world and the absolute misery of the material world. So both things require to be discussed. If we only discuss the absolute misery of the material world, then we end up like Buddhists. That there's nothing, if we're just fixed on the misery of this material world, then where's Krishna? What do well, how will we know about Krishna? But at the same time, from our present situation, if we only speak about Krishna, then we won't discriminate between Krishna's position and the position of this material world. Unless we're fixed in understanding that Ishvaram Prakriti Param, that this Supreme Lord is beyond material nature. If we only speak of Krishna without understanding his position beyond material nature, then we will necessarily mistake him as part of this material nature. And we'll necessarily misunderstand that his enjoyment is the enjoyment of someone of this material world, which we can also imitate. So it's necessary to discuss the miserable situation of this material world and the positive situation of the spiritual world, understanding that the condition of the spiritual world is qualitatively different from that of the material world. It's a different atmosphere. This material world is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world, where more or less the same things are going on in the spiritual world and the material world. But what's going on in the spiritual world is ananda chinmaya rasa, spiritual, transcendental, blissful, loving exchanges. And what's going on in this material world is dukhalayam shashvatam, miserable situation. Nothing here is permanent. So this material world, its value is there, or this discussion of the misery of the material world is to point us toward what is described here in this verse as the Surya Dwara, the path of illumination, that don't remain here. This is the place of darkness. Even if we expertly point out the miseries of material life, that in and of itself is not spiritual. In fact, some materialists are very expert at pointing out the miseries of material life. The other day in class I was talking about this Kafka, you haven't heard of him. One Czech author who he had three novels, and they're all just showing how miserable situation of this material world. So many of the great thinkers or philosophers of the world, even without a Vedic background, they have simply by observation pointed out the miserable situation of this world. But they don't have any, they don't know what is the Surya Dwara. They don't know what is the path of illumination to come out of that. And therefore they become hopeless, or they take shelter of intoxication, or they simply try to enjoy this world, or they don't know what to do. They just write some books and make some money out of it or whatever. Or they can become a Christian or a Muslim or something like some, it's called dharma, but some, because they don't have any proper information, they follow some childish so-called theistic philosophy, which gives them hope of enjoying in future. But they don't have a clue, actually. Their idea of spiritual perfection is that they can, having seen the miseries of this material world, they imagine a place where they can enjoy in the same way that they're trying to enjoy here without all the impediments that are here. So it's not really spiritual, it's not really theistic, because they don't really get the point about what theism is all about or what reality is all about, because they think that they will go to heaven or whatever they call it, and it'll be the same thing as here. I'll be enjoying myself, but just I enjoy myself here, but I have to pay taxes and I get sick. But there in the spirit, in the heavenly world, I'll enjoy myself, but without all these impediments, because God's there and He's sitting somewhere, and He arranges everything so that we can enjoy without any impediments. But this is not the Surya Dwara that's being described here. The path of illumination. Krishna Surya Sama. Krishna is like the sun. And Maya Hoy Andhaka. Maya, illusion, is darkness. In the darkness, now you have experience of darkness having come here. To some extent. To some extent. Still there's some lighting from the nearby village. But just like yesterday was Amavasya, so it's quite dark. And Amavasya in the rainy season, when the clouds cover them, even there's some kind of refraction from the stars. There's not much from the moon, but even that is blocked out by the clouds, then it becomes really dark. And in that darkness, if there's what do they call those little glowworms? Glowworm, Jonaki Poka, it's called in Bengali, if anyone's interested. You get to know all these kind of words because you see them. You wouldn't know the word living in a city because you don't see them. But in the villages, there's plenty. It's something noticeable. It looks bright. Maybe you think if I can capture 1,000 of them and put them in a bottle, then I could have a free light. So it actually looks quite bright. If you're in the room, in the dark room, and you see there's a glowworm, it actually looks quite bright, but it's so small that light, all you can see is the light of the glowworm, and nothing. You can't write or read by that light. It's light, but it's ineffective to do any good. So in the same way, we may take shelter of various philosophies. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he commented, I can't remember exactly where, that all these various philosophies and religious systems, most of them, they do have something is there. It's not that it's all completely bogus. They all point out some good points. This material world is miserable, we don't belong here. But because they don't have clear knowledge of where we do belong, then we just end up in the same situation. It's just like someone's complaining, you know, this is no good, that's no good, and so, you know, what are you going to do about it? What's the use of complaining? Just complaining. Do something better. No, it's all bad, it's all useless. And what's the use of complaining if you can't do something to rectify this situation? So people have invented various processes for trying to improve the situation, but because they don't know the method, it doesn't work. You have to know the method, how to do things. You could be staying in a place where there's plenty of wheat grains or rice grains. It's a more appropriate example in Tamil Nadu. Wheat is not known here, practically. But if you don't know how to cook it, then you can't benefit. I mean, you could try chewing raw rice, but it's not digestible, even if you could chew it. So it's there, but you just have to know the little technique of sticking it in a pot and heating it. And that, of course, you have to know how to make a fire. So just some little thing. You just have to know the technique, and then everything becomes... It may seem like a ridiculous example, because everyone knows that rice, you stick it in a pot with some water and heat it. And then after some time it becomes cooked, and you eat it. So it's just such an obvious thing. But to people who don't know, then you're completely stuck. It may be very simple, but if you don't know, then you can't benefit at all. Just like the other day, I had this new hard disk, which came with a built-in password. I didn't know what the built-in password was, so I was stuck. I couldn't use it at all. And someone came along who knew and typed in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that was it. Simple. But if you don't know, then what are you going to do? Dasu Ghosh Prabhu got his new laptop and number lock on it so people can't steal it. And he forgot the number. He didn't have it written down. So it's 4 digits. Who knows, who can do, there's some way of calculating. There's so many different possibilities of numbers. Yeah, well that's 9999. It's like almost 10,000 digits. So he put one of his sons on trying to do it one by one. If you know, it's easy. If you don't know, that's why that's the number lock is there. Because The thief can open the lock as easily as the owner, theoretically. But if you don't, if you know the number, I mean, it's not a difficult thing to do to turn the numbers and open it. It's not physically difficult to do, but if you don't know, then it becomes very difficult because you don't know. So in the same way, the path of Krishna consciousness is very easy, but if you don't know, then you don't know. And you're stuck. Stuck in this material world, and you may speculate this, that, the other, this path, we should do this, we should do that. They have, in the universities, they have departments of philosophy, and they discuss different philosophies. But what's the use of all these philosophies? There's so many different philosophies. I remember, shortly before I joined the movement, I saw some junk shop. Junk shop is where they sell people, like they leave their home and they, or someone dies and they sell all the things in their house that are useless to anyone. So there's lots of books in these junk shops. So I saw one big fat book there and it was called My Philosophy by someone I can't remember. And why should you be interested in someone's My Philosophy? I didn't bother opening the book even to look at it. By someone who probably he had inherited some money or something like this, so he had time to sit around and write a big book, My Philosophy. And he had the money to publish it, because why would anyone want to publish it? So anyway, that's there, My Philosophy. And the My who wrote it is now subject to Krishna's philosophy, but must have left his body. Like, it was an old book at that time. So, you know, his My Philosophy is now being expressed maybe as the mooing of a cow. What did Tamil cows do? English cows moo. Ma. They ma. Okay. In Bengali, it's the humba. So whatever, he might be a cow, might be a snake, might be a lizard. So if he's a lizard, then his philosophy will now be running around the lights at night, the light bulbs, where all the flies congregate, and jumping and catching a fly. You've all seen it. Not, and if you're living here, maybe not. But and he must come around the candles. This is the lizard's philosophy. Jumping after flies, and then they swallow. Somehow or other they have to dilate their mouths. And sometimes you see the bigger lizards, they eat a whole cockroach. And how they get it in, I don't know. And then they become fat and they can't move. The whole cockroach. And sometimes you see the fly is still alive inside. It's struggling inside the stomach of the lizard. So that's his philosophy. So what's the use? Why should there be a philosophy department? There should be a truth department. Actually, philosophy means love of truth. It's derived from Greek, and it means love of truth. But philosophy means, in the modern age, philosophy has come to mean different opinions, that's all. Which they different people perceive, this is the truth. John Lennon, the famous English philosopher of our generation, older than me, he perceived the truth as himself. He wrote a long song. Did you ever hear that song? It sounded like a hymn. I don't believe in Hitler. Da, 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 da. It sounded like a church hymn. I don't believe the Bible. Da, 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 da. It went on like this for about 20 minutes. I don't believe in Krishna was one of them. And at the end, the summit of his philosophy. I just believe in me. Yoko and me. Yoko was the name of his wife. That's reality. And then one day John Lennon was walking outside his apartment and he met reality in the form of a bullet. Someone shot him dead. So his philosophy didn't work. Because he found that more powerful than me is a little piece of metal which got lodged in his ribs and killed him.
And his wife sold his blood-stained sunglasses for £130,000.
Really? His wife sold his blood-stained glasses with the blood still on it. They can worship the blood. For £120,000. She's still alive probably, huh? She must be really old now. Yeah. Where are these people going? Anyway, John Lennon did some service to Prabhupada also. So, he got some benefit. He also, he made that song, what is it? Give Peace a Chance, one of his most famous songs. He put the words Hare Krishna on that, so. Many people got to hear Hare Krishna through him. It's amazing the kind of people Prabhupada engaged. Allen Ginsberg is one of the first people who helped to popularize Prabhupada's preaching in America among the hippies, because he was famous among, he was respected. He was like, you know, the Paramahamsa among the hippies, or big guru or something like that. He was a complete, I'll save the profanities, homosexual. But he behaved himself when he was around Prabhupada. Actually, there was one instance where he was going to do he did a program with Prabhupada at Ohio State University. And he was discussing with Prabhupada before the program. He said, well, I think we should do separate programs because, you know, you're a sadhu and I'm not. Prabhupada said, no, you come with us. And he said, well, all right, I'll come with you and I'll do that, but I'll do another night for my own thing also, because it wouldn't fit with what you're doing. He wanted to have a poetry reading separately, because his poetry is full of things not from the Surya Dwara. Tamo Dwara. Tamo Dwara Myushitam Sanghi Sangam. The Tamo Dwara, the path of darkness. Rishabdev says. Tamodvam Yoshitam Sanghi Sangam. He says that the path of darkness, that is the path of attachment to persons who are associated with women. Yoshitam Sanghi Sangam. Not so much as those who are associated with women, but those who are themselves attached to such people. So he was he wasn't Yoshit Sanghi, he was man to man. So very degraded. Prabhupada engaged him in spreading Krishna consciousness. So yeah, he had his philosophy, Allen Ginsberg. It was very popular at the time. And he's one of the people who are collectively influential in making the modern world what it is in terms of degradation. That people think, well, you should all have your own opinion and do whatever you like. Whatever you do is okay. Everything's nice. Everything's good. This throughout history, homosexuality has been considered sinful. That's a mistake. It should be allowed. Everything's good. There's nothing wrong with it. If you like it, if it feels good, why not? What's the harm? So he was one of the people who popularized that. And Srila Prabhupada took his help because at the same time he liked chanting Hare Krishna. I can't say he liked Krishna consciousness, but He liked Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada was preaching Krishna consciousness in a very strange ethos, in which many people, when Prabhupada first went to America, Prabhupada found that the hippies, they liked Krishna consciousness. The normal people, as you might call them, they weren't so interested. But the hippies, they were more interested. They liked Krishna's got long hair. They liked that. The man should have long hair. And he plays a flute. And, you know, he has girlfriends. And they liked all that. And he doesn't care for, you know, he doesn't go to a factory, and he's not a member of the establishment. So they like that. And he's no shoes, running barefoot. They liked all the love and peace and vegetarianism. Very nice. But then a lot of the other things, like Prabhupada, Krishna has long hair, but not you. You shouldn't have. I also have to get cleaned up today. So then, and following rules, because the whole hippie era was no rules. The only rule is don't have any rules. And that's all. Everyone should have long hair and lots of girlfriends and lots of drugs and no job. And no rules. So that, but Prabhupada, in the beginning, he didn't give hardly any, actually there were no rules in the beginning. Just come, that's all. Just come and join the chanting. Gradually Prabhupada introduced rules. That if we want to be enlightened, it's not just a matter of reciting some poetry and imagining yourself to be enlightened. That was the whole hippie idea, was imagination. That they imagine that by taking some drug, they got some hallucination, which hallucination is another kind of imagination. And they would imagine, I am God. Once Prabhupada in San Francisco, he was giving class in the morning, and someone came in and started shouting, I am God. I am God. He was moaning, and disturbing the crowd. And he got up and started ran down the street saying, I am God! It's completely controlled by the modes of nature, but so degraded. He thought, I am God. So Prabhupada introduced rules that if we're going toward the path of illumination, it's not by imagination, it's not by intoxication. We have to, that path, it's a figurative path, it's not that there's a particular, it's not a physical road, but there are certain things that we have to do that will purify us and give us the knowledge by which we can become purified, and give us the place us on the path by which we'll be qualified to get Krishna's mercy. We can join Krishna, carefree, playing on the flute. Cowherd boys, they also have flutes. Krishna's not the only one with a flute. They all have flutes. Cowherd boys have flutes. It's for calling cows. So we can go and join Krishna. But we have to become qualified. It's not just a matter of dancing. Many people they come and they join the dancing, but when the dancing starts, they'll take prasadam, but rules, then they stop, then they're not. But then, if we want to join that platform of Gauranga Nritya Nitya, the eternal dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we have to become qualified by becoming pure in consciousness. So Prabhupada is given in this purport the same points he gives over and over again. All living entities other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead are very small, although they may be big by our calculation. He's making the point over and over again. All these points, basic points we have to understand to go on the path of illumination. We are not big. We are small. How many times do we have to say it? It's like, someone come up, I'm big. No. If we don't voluntarily accept to be small, then material nature will force us to be small. Just like I wrote in that message to youth of India, that people like to live life king sons, but then they die and they get born again ant sons or dog sons. So you may think, I'm very big. We like to think, I'm very big. But we are constitutionally small. As long as we don't understand that, then the whole of material existence, it's simply trying to be big, and big, and big, and big, and big, and then we become so-called big, and Maya smashes us down. And then we become a cockroach, looking, where is stool? And then again, get born as a human being, become a Hiranyakashipu, and then again become an ant. Even among the ants, there is the queen ant, there is the soldier ant, and the worker ant. There's gradation. Who is big? So this material life means trying to make ourselves big. And the path of illumination simply means to understand, I'm small, Krishna is very great. Let me try to serve Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. Any questions about this? It's all straightforward. I hope we all understand these points. We're just making them again and again so we can understand, because understanding isn't just, hearing is there, but internalization has to be there also. What is that? Shravan Manan Nididhyasa. We hear, these are well-known words from the Upanishads. After hearing, we have to consider, we have to think about it. Not just hearing as a kind of exercise. You'll find people, there are many people who, not many because there's the Indian cultures less than it used to be, but many people they think, oh, we have to hear. So they'll go and hear. They'll be in Vrindavan, someone will be speaking on Bhagavat, and we will go and hear. They'll go and hear. Because it's a kind of duty. They have to hear. So they go and hear. And they get some punya, but they don't understand the punya. We have to, the speaking has to be in such a way that it's, there's something to think about, to consider. So Shravan Mana and Nididhyasana means to internalize that. Chitete Korea Oikya, to make it one with our consciousness. So, Hare Krishna. Any question? No questions. Alright, Jai, Hare Krishna. Who's going out on traveling Sankirtan today? Oh, traveling in the party? Traveling bus? All of you? You're all going in one bus.
Six are going here, others are going to train.
Yeah, that's right. Who's going in the traveling party? Okay, Jai, that's very good. Good. Go out and don't come back. It means come back, but if you can just keep on going, that will be very good. You should have parties everywhere. There's vans and padyatras like this. You'd have so many book distributors that people eventually, even if they say no, eventually they have to surrender. And they get up in the morning and go outside to brush their teeth, and someone comes to sell them a book. And on the way to work, someone sells them a book. At their work, someone sells them a book. On the bus coming back, someone sells them, and they say, no, no, no. Eventually they have to say yes. Eventually they have to.